There's so many things going on around Easter. And I tried to start preaching on them a little bit ahead of time. There's so many things that we could look at. Of course, today in the sunrise service, I'm so happy. I love Easter when the sun comes up, when we have a sunny morning. You know, I thought it was going to be cloudy, which is not my favorite. Rain's not my favorite. But boy, when the sun comes up, it's a beautiful day. It may be cloudy later, but it's not now. And I love that. And so we always like to think about that as we have this service here, this early service. In John chapter 20, verse 1, the Bible says, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went on in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scriptures that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away into their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turneth herself, saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. The title of the message this morning is The Reciprocating Love of the Resurrection. I know that's a big word. Reciprocating means to respond to a gesture or action by making a corresponding gesture or action. In the last few days in Jerusalem, leading up to this event that we just read about and what we celebrate today, the disciples and even for Jerusalem had been strange days. They'd been tough days. At the crucifixion, we know that there was darkness over the land from 12 noon until 3 p.m., which was odd. To say the least, there had been also an earthquake when Jesus had given up his spirit, and the veil in the temple was rent, which I don't know that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, if they didn't understand why that was as such, we do, but they didn't. And there was a lot of opinions about who Jesus was already in Jerusalem. So there was a lot of turmoil just from the city point of view, from the disciples' point of view. Boy, a tense time. Trying times, tough time, disappointing time, a discouraging time, a desperate time, and it was also a heartbreaking time, you know, as death for loved ones are. When we think about death and we think about the grave and we think about, and many of us have done this or experienced this, most of us probably have, you know, and, you know, what causes us to go and linger as a pastor and preach many, many funerals and when we're at the graveside and we've had the service and the graveside service we have, there's the family, you know, is the last one. They're the one, they linger at the grave the longest. You know, people start finally filtering away, but it's the family that has a tough time, you know, separating themselves from that, leaving the grave. And a lot of people do, and they visit the grave, maybe many times over a period of time, even as Christians, you know, I'm not one to do that too often much, because my parents are buried in Virginia Beach, and it's a ways away. But when we go down there, we do go by the grave. I know they're not there. I know that's not where they themselves are, but I do know that's where their body is. And it's love that causes us to do that. We understand that. That's not anything new. And it's just that love. We want to be as close to the last tangible thing that we have of that loved one that we can, their body. They're at that grave. We know that's where their body is. And so that longing to be near that loved one. And we think about love. You know, the Bible tells us that God is love, and that therefore, of course, Jesus, being God in the flesh, is love as well. And we know that he showed his love when he came to this earth and when he died on the cross and even when he resurrected from the grave. You know, he showed his love in life and his death. Both things took place. And so when his disciples and his followers responded to that love, Jesus responds with his love again. You know, the Bible tells us this, that while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for us, that we know that he loved us first, that God loved us first. He loved us while we were yet sinners. I mean, he still loved us there. And so what God has done everything that he could do. What could you do to show your love? The Bible says no greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus came, not only did he lay down his life for his friends, he laid down his life for his enemies. He laid down his life and he... There's no greater love than that. That God doesn't have to do anything, I guess what I'm trying to say. God doesn't have to do anything else to show his love to us. He doesn't have to do anything. And now, but I want to tell you something. This is what I want you to get across today, or the rest of the, I don't know how you're going to take the points in that, but if you don't learn anything else or don't get anything else in your mind, I want this one thing. That what happens now is that God is looking, he's watching, he's looking for somebody that to respond to that love. That love has a drawing power. And I'm going to tell you what, and that's why I use that word reciprocating. When he has shown his love, when we reciprocate, when we respond to that love, then he reciprocates again. He's going to show his love again in another way. And I'm going to show you that this morning. And that's what I want you to see right there. So I wanted to look at the display of love on that particular day, really by looking at the part where Mary, in verse 11, where Mary Magdalene came. And the Bible says that she came early. The very first point is searching love, a searching love. It says early that morning, while it was yet dark, that Mary came to the sepulcher. She had went back to the grave. Now, we already know from studying the Bible that, you know, none of those people had everything settled in their mind about the events. There's people today, even though we have the Word of God, they don't have it all settled in their mind. But they didn't. Jesus had tried to tell them what he was going to do. He tried to tell them that he was going to be crucified. He tried to tell them about this, but comprehending that, they hadn't done it. And so after Jesus' death, you can just imagine where their heads were at, where their heart, you know, the confusion about what they thought was going to take place. And so the Passover was about to take place, and they got Jesus' body off of the cross because they didn't want to the body to remain during Passover. And during Passover, the Jews wouldn't do anything. This was the very first opportunity that she had. She had to wait till Passover ended early in the morning while it was yet dark. She went to the tomb, possibly to embalm the body, whatever was in her mind. I know that was part of it. I know that women were coming down with ointments and things to embalm the body. That's what they did. But we see early in the morning, and she came to the sepulcher. I believe from the time that Jesus was taken off the cross the next couple of nights, I believe they were some sleepless nights. Now, for those of you, if you've lost somebody close to you, boy, it's tough, man. I mean, somebody that close, and there was sleepless nights. I think that there wasn't a lot of rest going on anywhere, and there was no opportunity. There was anticipation. She was wanting to get to that grave as soon as she could, and so that morning, as soon as Passover ended, she went and left and went to that grave side, that tomb where Jesus lay. The Bible tells us it was the first day of the week. She went on the first day of the week, first thing to find Jesus. And, you know, we see in Mary somebody that could not and would not rest until she came as close to the Lord as she thought that she could get. Now, she didn't know anything about what was going to take place, but she wanted to get as close. She could not have any rest. This was what was on her mind. It was on her heart to get as close as she could to the last tangible thing that she knew about Jesus, and that was where his body, she thought, lay. And the Bible tells us about love, says love believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, and the Bible says that love never fails. The Bible says that death will not separate us from the love of God. That death does not separate us from the love of God. And you guys already know what I'm going to tell you right now. You know what? Love does not die with a loved one. I was thinking about, I love my parents more than probably when they were alive. I mean, maybe not on a graph, but I appreciate it more. You know, I've had time to think about it more. You know, you don't appreciate anything until they're gone and you don't have it. I love my parents in life, but you know what? In death, I still love them every bit as much. And even more. Amen. Even more. So love does not stop. And she still loved the Lord, maybe even more than she loved when he was on the earth. She had never been loved like that love. She had never been loved like she'd been loved by the Lord. It's the kind of love everybody's really looking for this. This is what they want in life. They're really looking, you know, unconditional love. It's how Jesus loved. Sacrificing love, sacrificial love. Love is an action as well. And she reciprocated that love that she had received herself. See what happened? She realized that Jesus loved her. And all the events are taking place, and we're reading about it. We already know about it. We know about the crucifixion. Right now, Mary doesn't know about the resurrection. She's about to find out. Pentecost hasn't come. We know about all that. And she didn't know it yet. She was about to find out, but she reciprocated the love back to Jesus by early in the morning. Got herself up, zoomed down there to the tomb to find, I don't know what she thought she was going to find. I don't know what she expected. I know there was some things in the way, and I'll talk about that in just a second about that. But, you know, here's the thing. She was searching to be close to Jesus. Get this in your mind, searching, searching, searching. The Bible says the greatest commandment is that we love the Lord with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. That's exactly what her mind, her heart, her soul, I mean her spirit, and in her strength, she got up. She got up early. She probably might not even have been asleep. And she got herself, she went down to that tomb, got spices, whatever she had. I know some other ladies came a little bit later. She went down to that tomb. No rest until she found him. So it was a searching love. And then also we see a separating love. A separating love. Early in the morning. First day of the week. First thing of the first day. Now what else did Mary have to do? You know, sometimes I think we look at people in the Bible and we think, you know, they didn't have anything to do. Sit around idly all day. Doing nothing. I'm sure, listen, they had a lot more to do than we have to do. They didn't have Walmart. They didn't have a stop-in. You know, they had to make everything. They had to do those things. She had responsibilities, I'm sure. She had chores, maybe a job, maybe not a job. She had chores of some kind. She maybe had an appointment. She had all those other things. We think that we have such busy lives. There's so many people that are so busy That you know what, I've heard them all, and I've heard the things, man, we can't get to Jesus, we can't come to church, we can't serve God because, you know, I got this and that and this and all the other things. Listen, all those people had all those things and much more. They had to grow their own food. They had to make their own food. They had to make their own clothes. They had to grow the plants to make the yarn, to make the clothes. They had to do all those things. They had more responsibilities than we ever had. But she separated herself at that particular time. She separated herself from everything else. Nothing else mattered. Whatever else she had, whatever responsibilities, they were secondary. She said, I'm gonna get down there, nothing else, and nothing else took priority over her getting to the last place that she knew that the body, at least the body of Jesus, would be just a body. I've read this one time and I love it. Love doesn't make excuses, it makes a way. Love doesn't make excuses, it makes a way. And she could have had a lot of excuses, but love overcame. Believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, beareth all things. Love never fails. She was going to the sepulcher, whether anybody else went with her or not. She was going to get down there. She wanted to go. She was going to get there. It didn't matter what anybody else thought. It didn't matter what anybody else thought she ought to be doing. It didn't matter what she might have had to do. She was going. This was her agenda. She was separated to that. What gets in the way of coming to love Jesus for us? I talked about this last Sunday. I spoke about it Sunday morning. You know, she didn't let the early hours stop her. I've heard that excuse. She didn't let the darkness of the day stop her. The possibility of the stone, the tomb having a seal in front of the, you know, they rolled a big stone. They said it was sealed. It was even a seal put on it, and there was a guard set there. Now, what was she going to do when she got there? Did she know? I don't think she knew. Did she care? See, you can sit at home, and we can sit there and think, well, you know, there's this obstacle there that's going to keep me from getting to Jesus. And if I do this, and what am I going to do about that? You know, listen, love doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We're going to get to it. We're going to get to the place. What makes a mother dive into a burning automobile when her baby's in the car seat in the back? What about the flames? What about the door might be locked? What about the, you know, does it matter? Nothing's going to stop that woman from trying to get into that car, even her own life. That's what love does. The possibility of guards around the tomb, there was that possibility. And maybe a multitude of other things that we haven't even thought about or haven't considered that might have been something to keep her from thinking about this plan and stopping. Her mission. Her mission was to search for the Lord, and she was separated unto that very task and nothing else. That's what she's going to do. Now I'm going to tell you something. Jesus took note. And he responds to that. See, that's what he's waiting for now. If you don't get nothing else out of that, that's what he's looking for right now. He's already showed all the love that he needs to show. If he don't do another thing, if he doesn't do another thing for you and I, he has done everything. He has showed us the love like nobody else. And I'm going to tell you what, when you respond to that, he takes note. He takes note. I think that sometimes people think, well, you know, man, God just feels like he's so far away. I'll tell you why. You're not looking for him. Huh? You're searching for him. In every case, he manifests himself. I'll show you that in a few minutes. He shows himself. Huh? God hasn't gone anywhere. It's always us. It's always us. So we had a searching love and a separating love, and then we also know there was a struggling love. Things hadn't gone like they thought they were going to go. Jesus was supposed to be the Messiah. He was going to be the Savior. Now, they weren't looking for a Messiah like we know that he was. They weren't looking for a spiritual salvation. They were looking for a physical salvation from the government that they were under with Rome. But they were just thinking about that. Jesus said he was the bread of life. He said he was the living water. He was the way, the truth, the life. He had taught all those things in his lifetime. But the last thing they expected, that Jesus was going to die, and that he would, that he would have been crucified. I mean, all this thing, their mind was, you can just imagine. And we get the same way when things don't go. He was a healer, man. He had raised the dead. He had healed the lepers and caused the blind to see and the lame to walk. And you're telling me that they took him and nailed him to a cross and there was nothing he could do about it, and that he died and now he's in the tomb, and man, a couple days have gone by. You can imagine where their mind was. How could this have happened? What about all the promises that Jesus had made? Man, if you struggle with your faith now, think about them not knowing what we know now and struggle with that. There was this struggle between fear and faith. We do it all the time. We know what the Bible says. We know what God says. But, there's this circumstance, there's this obstacle, there's this big thing in my life that I just can't see how. That's the whole thing. Listen, if you can see it, God don't have to do anything about it. Huh? If you can see it, it's not God. I just can't see it. She couldn't see. She couldn't see even the littlest thing, like how's the stone going to be out of the way? It was already taken care of. How many of you worry about a lot of things all night long, flipping around your bed, and the next day it don't even come to pass? Huh? It ain't even what you thought, right? It happens all the time, right? She struggled between her fear and faith. Yet she still refused, a faith that refused to let go of those promises that Jesus had given. Did she understand? No. There was a lot they didn't understand. There's a lot we don't understand even today. And the next thing is, it was a satisfying love. This is the main thing I really thought about on this message. And we think about, who did Jesus manifest himself to after the resurrection? Who were the ones to see? It was those that loved him. It was the one that searched for him. The one who was separated to finding him. The ones who perhaps were struggling with their faith, yet they still had faith. In John chapter 14, just back, let me look a couple pages. Let me show you something here. Look what the Bible says here, John 14:21. It's a good verse. It says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him," and look right here, "and will manifest myself to him." Huh? I will manifest myself to him that loves me. Huh? If you're feeling like Jesus is a long way off in your life, I'm going to tell you what the problem is. It's a love problem on your part, not his. Amen. That's what it is. He said, "I will manifest myself unto you somehow." I don't know that you're not going to maybe see him standing there in a body, but he's going to manifest yourself to you in your heart. That's the reality right there. He didn't manifest himself to the high priest. They were the religious leaders of the day. He didn't manifest himself to them. He didn't manifest himself to the Roman guard, Herod, Pilate, the crowd who cried, "Crucified him." The very first one that he manifests himself to, who? It was the one that had got as close as they could get to him. Right then, because Peter and John had come and left, and Mary had remained. Not today. Listen, others loved Jesus. There was a lot of people that loved Jesus. He manifested himself to over 500 of his followers at one time. Later on, in the days and weeks coming up, he did as well. But look how it went. I mean, and eventually got to them. The searching one, the separated one, the struggling one, the one that got herself as close as she could. That's who. Listen, when you're searching, I'm talking about in here, when you're searching with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, God's going. I tell people this all the time, that they're lost and they say, "Well, I don't know if God is real. I don't know about all this." And I'm going to tell you this: if you pray this prayer and you're sincere that God would make himself real to you, I'm going to tell you what he'll do. He'll make himself real to you somehow. somehow he'll do it. If you're searching, if you're looking, you know, you can't find what you're not looking for. We think about Mary. So he reciprocated that love again back to her, Mary. He called her by name, Mary. Can you imagine her heart? After those, that crucifixion and those couple days went by and she thought it was over. And then all of a sudden she heard that voice. My sheep hear my voice. Huh? And he said, Mary. And she looked. Whew, man, the emotion that went from down there to miles high. Miles high. Picture any loved one you want that has passed on. And boy, what you wouldn't have given a couple days after they were put in the grave to hear that voice call your name. And they were standing right there. Woo! Huh? Be shouting around there, buddy. I mean, that'd make a Methodist shout right there. I mean, huh? I mean, you'd be hopping around, man, alive. What? And calling everybody. That phone would be burning up. Text messages, man. Big old thing plastered on Facebook. On the phone calling everybody you know. He's alive. He's alive. Huh? He's just as real right now. Huh? Jesus just as alive right now. As he is. Huh? Oh, man. I'm going to tell you what, boy. It would be something else. Those Emmaus Road disciples, man, a little bit later that day. There they were leaving Jerusalem, downtrodden, marking along. All just dejected, you know, discouraged. What do you think they were talking about when they walked down that road? Who do you think they were talking about? Huh? They were talking about all those events. It popped right in their mind. Matter of fact, Jesus said, well, you know, what are you talking about? He said, boy, haven't you heard? That's what they said. Haven't you heard these last few days? They didn't know it was Jesus. Haven't you heard what's been going on? So that's what they were talking about. They were talking about, man, I don't, and probably all that confusion too. Well, I thought this, but I don't know why that happened, and I don't know what's going on. And guess what? In their heart, they had love for Jesus. Guess what? There he was. Huh? He started talking to him. And the Bible says, boy, you know what? He opened the scriptures. This is what happens. This is why we have preaching today. He opened the scriptures first. He opened their eyes, or he opened their understanding, and then he opened their eyes. That's how it works today. You preach the gospel, you preach the word of God. Somebody's understanding is going to be open, and all of a sudden their eyes are going to open and say, man, I see it. Ain't that right, Paul? Huh? All of a sudden I saw it, right? Huh? Paul knows about that. Huh? All of a sudden, man, it was real. It was real. The very next text, right there where we're at in John chapter 20, the very next thing after I stopped, it said, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Came Jesus and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be unto you. I wonder what they were talking about. And when he had so said, he showed them into his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. You bet they were. And then said Jesus unto them, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Oh, man, what a day that was. Boy, there they were. They were gathered, man. Why were they gathered together? They never gathered together like that in their life till Jesus came on the scene. They gathered together because of Jesus. They were gathered together. They were talking about Jesus. And now, what he did, he said, look right here. Look at my hand. Look at my feet. Huh? Look at these scars. Boy, and look at my side. And I mean, what? And man, he manifests himself to them. Why? Because they loved him. They were talking about him. He was on their mind. He was on their heart. They were searching for answers. And I'm going to tell you what, they got them too. And so that's, he manifests himself to them. And all along the way, there was different people that he manifests himself to. Not to the lost. There's nowhere recorded in the Bible that he manifests himself in those days after his resurrection, right after, immediately after resurrection, that he manifest himself to anybody that was lost. It was everybody that loved him, that had reciprocated that love that he already showed to them. And now they understood. Now their knowledge was experiential, not just head knowledge, but they had a heart knowledge. It was a divine reality. And then we see also there was a serving love. The last point in verse 17, Jesus gave Mary a commission. He talked to her right off the bat. Touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. And look, it says, verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples. She went and did exactly what Jesus said. You know what she did? She obeyed. And she went and told. She was overflowing with love. Listen, and that's the key. You know, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's what the Bible said. That's how we reciprocate our love back. Jesus noticed. He took note. He knows our hearts. There's nothing that can prove a greater attraction to the Lord. I don't mean us being attracted to Him, but what attracts Him. There's nothing, the greatest thing and the greatest attraction for Jesus is a love that sacrifices everything to Him and rests satisfied with nothing less than Himself. He took note. He still takes note. Huh? He still takes note. Man, if you're searching, seeking, looking, He will respond. He will respond. Love attracts. Here's the thing, man. You know, listen, this is how we win the world to Jesus. It's not in all the programs and events. We can have a circus. We can have a racetrack built. We can do anything in the world. We can have a football team and do all that stuff. Listen, that's not going to attract anybody. It's when the only thing that attracts the world to Jesus is love. That's it. The love of God, the love of Jesus in our hearts. That attracts people to Christ. And if we're to manifest Jesus' love to the world, then we must first love Him that He may manifest Himself unto us. When it's a reality here, it'll show here. And it'll show out to the world. That's the attraction, the love. And so what I want you to see this morning is that you see how Mary and how she, that love was an action. So it was nothing going to stop her to get to Jesus. When we get to that point, when we get in our life where there's nothing going to come between us and Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you what, He will manifest Himself to us in a greater way, in a greater way. You know, we know about the resurrection. We know what the Bible says. We have faith, but we struggle with our faith on a lot of things too, right? But I'm going to tell you what happened if Jesus stood right here. All of a sudden, there He was. And He said, He called you by name, and you saw Him. Huh? Would it be a more reality? Well, listen, I'm not saying that'll happen. I'm not saying it couldn't happen. But I'm saying, I'm going to tell you what, there'll be a... Those Emmaus roads... Eyes were opened technically after Jesus left. Their understanding was open. They talked. They said, did not our hearts burn within us? And it said their eyes, their understanding was open. He wasn't right at the present. That's how it happens. All of a sudden, and boy, back to Jerusalem they went. A whole new world. That's what the resurrection means. That was what the resurrection meant. There's a crucifixion first. There's a resurrection. And that's what it means for us today. Listen, He's just as alive. He's just as real as that man that stood and called Mary by name. He's just as alive today. Huh? And what happens with the church, the people, God's people will become effective when we really understand it, when we really know it. And we'll really know it when we search with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength. We know that when we're looking for Him, I'm going to tell you what, He'll manifest Himself in a way that's so real that everybody else will see it. Everybody else will see it. Amen. Amen. A lot to be thankful for today, man. Thank God for the resurrection. Boy, and then just think Pentecost was coming up. He's going to give the Holy Spirit. And now the Holy Spirit dwelling in our hearts even today. He lives. I know He lives. I know He lives because He lives within my heart. That was the song that we sung. Let's all